Hello, I'm Diana Mason, Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing. In the March 2009 issue of AJN, Elizabeth Zong and her colleagues at the National Council State Board for Nursing have authored an article, a study actually, titled Probation and Recidivism, Remediation Outcomes Among Nurses in Six States. And they conclude that there is an association between having a history of criminal conviction and the likelihood of committing a violation that requires state nursing board disciplinary action. We invited Edie Brouse to write a sidebar to this article, and the sidebar talks about the implications of criminal background checks for nurses. And Edie Brouse is a nurse attorney and contributing editor for AJN, responsible for the Legal Update column. And she's here with me today to talk about this issue. And Edie, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
So I think a first question is, do nurses need to be concerned if they've been convicted of a crime? Do they need to be concerned about their license, even when that crime may not be related to their nursing practice?
They do need to be concerned about it on a number of levels. The first would be just in applying for licensure, or if you're licensed in one state and you're applying for licensure in another state, when you are asked on your application if you have any kind of a criminal record. Different state boards will phrase that question differently. Some state boards phrase the question as, have you been convicted of a crime? If you say no, and in fact the board finds out that there is a criminal background, you're going to have a problem for no other reason than other than the fact that you falsified your application. So you need to know, nurses need to be familiar with what the board means when they say conviction. Some states are very clear and spell it out, others just use the word conviction. If you have been involved in any criminal activity that has resulted in a plea bargain or an Alford plea or a no contest plea or a deferred adjudication, that is considered to be a conviction in the law. And nurses are lay people in terms of the law, so they may not realize that, and they may think of conviction the way lay people do, which is that you've been to trial and a jury has actually convicted you. The board is looking at it from a legal standpoint, so their definition of conviction may be much broader than that. So if you say no, when in fact you've accepted a plea bargain or an Alford plea or you've had a deferred adjudication, that is considered professional misconduct in itself because you are now falsifying your application.
And if I have met any of those definitions for being convicted of a crime, and I check off yes, it's in my best interest to perhaps provide documentation so that the board is clear about the circumstances of the crime and the action taken.
That's right, and there should be a written explanation of what happened and any way in which it was resolved. So if there was a criminal crime, if there was a crime that was committed and there was a conviction or there was a plea or there was anything else that happened, the Board of Nursing has a copy of all the paperwork that shows that the matter has been resolved. If you were on probation by the criminal courts, that probation has been satisfactorily completed, that you've met all the terms, that you are not in failing to be compliant with what the criminal courts have required, that all of that has been met. If you're applying for a license in a second state, it would also be helpful to the board that you're applying to that you attach to that any findings of your current state board of nursing, if you've also gone before them, so that they have that as well.
Now, the articles don't really get at this, but I wanted you to comment. Many nurses are concerned, of course, all of us are concerned about ever being brought up on charges of professional misconduct. And we have, you know, hear from nurses from time to time that they were brought on up on charges and the board told them, oh, you don't need to get an attorney, you just need to talk with us. What's your advice to nurses?
I have never received any written communication from the board to a nurse or a copy of a written communication from a board to a nurse that specifically said you don't need a lawyer. But I have seen some that didn't address whether you're entitled to one or not. It just isn't even mentioned. And I've seen some that are pretty good that you're entitled to be represented by a lawyer. It is absolutely your right to go to the Board of Nursing without counsel. You have the right to do that. I don't think it's good advice. The American Association of Nurse Attorneys doesn't think it's good advice. You should be represented by counsel. If you are insured and you have malpractice insurance, depending on who your malpractice insurance is through, licensure protection may be a benefit in your policy already. So you may already be entitled to have your attorney's fees paid to go to the Board of Nursing if you have your own malpractice policy.
But, okay, so I'm giving you a job as a nurse attorney by getting counsel. Why is it in my interest to have a nurse attorney?
You can, when you go to the Board of Nursing, you can inadvertently...
Or any attorney, right?
Oh, any attorney,
right,
yes.
Right.
I do say nurse attorney, and the reason I say that is not just because I'm a nurse attorney, but because nurse attorneys are advisable for two reasons as opposed to other lawyers. One is, we're nurses. I mean, that's the big one. We're nurses. And we're cheaper, not because our rates are any lower, but because we're more efficient. If you've been a lawyer for 1,000 years, you still cannot go through a medical record as well as a lawyer who's got a nursing background. And you're paying for us by the hour to go through these records. So we're more efficient in that point, and we're more likely to find things because of our nursing background. But the other reason is that nurse attorneys get better outcomes than attorneys without nursing backgrounds. Mm-hmm. We have fewer revocations, fewer suspensions, more probations, more consent agreements. We get better outcomes. So we take fewer hours to do better work. So, I mean, that's a promo for us, but the stats will prove me right on that. But you can, to answer your question, you can be a nurse going before the Board of Nursing, and without knowing what the complaint says, without knowing what the charges possibly could be, without knowing all the implications, all the, oh, but what about this questions that could be asked in advance, you may not be prepared to give the best answer. And if you have a nurse attorney who has experience dealing with licensure issues and working with the Board of Nursing, they are likely to guide you, just if nothing else, through what the process is going to be. Just like when you're going to have surgery, it makes a difference when someone says, we're going to start an IV, we're going to put a mask on, it doesn't mean this, it means that instead. 7 people will all be asking you the same question, it doesn't mean we don't know what we're doing, it just means everyone is wanting to make sure no one else has overlooked anything. It's that kind of teaching. So when you go to the Board of Nursing, it's not as terrifying in his experience because you know what to expect. It also gives you a little bit of a prep. You have a sense of what the questions are that you're likely to be asked. So you know what your answers can be. You can inadvertently harm yourself because you're trying to explain. You think if you just explain, it'll go away without realizing that you're really hurting yourself in the process.
And your discussions with the State Board are all on the record, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
It depends on what the state board, each state board has their own policies and procedures. In New York, for example, they're all recorded. The interviews are recorded.
So you could go unprepared and start speaking in ways that really don't represent you well.
That's right.
Okay.
I think you also aren't able to anticipate what some of the other issues will be. You may realize that you've been reported to the Board of Nursing for a particular event with a particular patient on a particular day. And then when you get to the board, you find that they have all your performance appraisals, they have all of any write-ups that have ever been done on you, any disciplinary actions that were taken by your employer. Well, what about this med error 3 years ago? And what about this disciplinary action that you received from your employer for chronic lateness 2 years ago? And you weren't anticipating that. You weren't expecting to be asked about that because you thought it was going to be narrowly focused on what the issue was that the complaint was based on.
Well, we certainly hope that we don't need to hire an attorney to represent us with the State Board for Nursing. No nurse wants to go through charges of professional misconduct. But for nurses who have been brought up on charges, how can they find a nurse attorney?
You can do it through a couple ways. One is the American Association of Nurse Attorneys. You can go to their website, and when you go to the website, which is TAANA.org.
TAANA.
The American Association of Nurse Attorneys, TANA.org. You'll find a phone number, and they will give you a referral, whatever state you're in or whatever states you are in. If you are insured, your insurance company may be able to give you a direct referral. If you're insured through NSO,
which is
Nurses Service Organization.
And I must disclose, they are an advertiser in the journal, and yes.
NSO will give you a direct referral to a nurse attorney as a preferred provider.
And if I'm not insured by NSO, should I ask my insurance company that say that I would like a nurse attorney?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And they may or may not have them available, but yes.
Great. Well, Edie Brass, I want to thank you so much for talking with us about this important issue. As I said, none of us want to have to deal with issues of professional misconduct, but we need to be prepared and to know how to respond if we ever are brought up against those charges. So thank you so much for joining us
thank
today.
You.
We've been talking with Eddie Brouse, a nurse attorney and contributing editor for the American Journal of Nursing, responsible for the Legal Update column. I'm Diana Mason, editor-in-chief. Thanks for joining us.